Hello, everyone, and welcome to JeffG Tonight. Lots happening, a lot to review. I'm happy to be here. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, why does Brett Weinstein get 10 appearances on Joe Rogan, but Jeff gets none? Isn't Joe Rogan meant to be an open-minded guy? These podcasters need to widen their guest pool. Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is what you have to let them just go into their circle jerk, and you have to let them go into the desert of talking points, and eventually they'll get tired. And Rodilacid says it's because JF is not Jewish. certainly that must play, but yeah, we have to just endure the fact that the Jewish controlled part of the media doesn't want to die. It's still attached to this cable TV conception of full control. And people who rise by themselves individually, who are not Jewish, who are not part of a stable, of a pimp, of an agent, it's very hard for them to be invited anywhere. And so you just have to let this... I'm sure in 10 years, 20 years from now, there will be changes to culture, and people will have digested this era, but we are in that era, and it sucks because we don't get engagement. We don't get intelligent engagement on a theory that predicts the end of humanity. So we have the biggest podcast on earth, Joe Rogan, ends up not talking about the fact that a guy is currently alive, having said to humanity, you will die if you do this, and humanity is just doing it. Holy shit, that's frustrating. Anyways, a super chat by Lumpen Prince. Thank you so much for the support. He sends $11.88. He says, Infrared has and his supporters think that all gay men are Nazis and that all Nazis are gay men. Iran castrates and forces sex changes on effeminate gay males. The Nazis castrated, enslaved, tortured, imprisoned, and exploited gay men for experiments, etc. Gay men have been hated by both sides. It is untrue that gay men are Nazis. Of course, Infrared is in the business of making these false claims that sound okay, that sound good. He's a deceptive communist, let's not forget what he is. So of course he's going to make up this kind of memes. It's just false because yes, traditionally the Nazis were absolutely at war with anything like homosexuality. That being said, there is something about gays that is Nazi-like, and it's their obsession with looks maxing. You know, in the gay community, it's a big thing to have muscles, to work at the gym. There are people who spend their lives just looking good, just to be gay. And it's kind of weird. And it's on the male side. You don't have lesbians working super hard to look good. That doesn't exist. Fascinating, isn't it? So there is something about gayness on the male side, but not on the female side, that is related to this obsession with looks maxing. And you could say there's a parallel with the Nazis in the sense, because people have this caricatural view of Nazis as being looks maxing, as being obsessed with the eugenics aspect of looks and face appearance. And anyone who thinks about a Nazi, of course, thinks about an Aryan face, well-developed jaw, with sometimes even blonde hair, or at least toward the pale. So yes, there is this overlap. Now, what does this overlap mean? Your super chat led me into introspection. I've been saying recently, the female is the ultimate eugenicist. The female is the ultimate farmer of genes. Doesn't matter if she's a leftist, a liberal, a right-winger, religious, non-religious. Females are all selecting and they are all acting with the goal of farming males of a certain kind into humanity. And very often, if you're an artist like me, you will face the flow of hate that comes your way because your normie girlfriend is disappointed because you're that way, is disappointed because you don't look in the eye, because you don't have the right etiquette responses here and there. They are extremely annoyed by it, and that's because they are eugenicists, all of them. They all entertain the dating process as an experiment in sculpting humanity. And they all use their pussy for one reason, sculpting humanity, selecting the males. They are basically specialists of male selection. And the gays, the gay males, what are they? They're the most feminine males. They're the most feminine human males. So you can think of a theory where, why is it that homosexuals are looks maxing on the male side? Perhaps it's because their brain is more female-like and they are ultimately thinking more in eugenist terms. They are trying to select their sexual mate like a woman would. That is based on mostly farming considerations. Now, in the homosexual community, it's mainly based around looks. But in the female case, they are selecting based on a much wider array of factors, wealth, social status, that kind of thing, cognitive structure. So perhaps the male homosexual is ultimately a Nazi of sorts. The male homosexual is a Nazi in the same way that a female is a Nazi. Because they want to look smack their partner, because they measure it flatters their own narcissism to be fucking or to be fucked by a male of greater status and of greater looks. Longmont says, even the hot feminine lesbians tend not to dress up, wear makeup, go to the gym, etc. Exactly. So why? It's because ultimately the lesbian is the most masculine female, and the masculine female, the masculine drive is to not display so much looks, because it's kind of gay to display so much looks. Let's talk about a couple of important subjects. Daryl Cooper, the interview with Tucker Carlson. Look, I love this guy. This guy basically drops red pills about history all podcast, but I still take one issue with this guy. He's fundamentally engaged in deception. Now, he invites to a review of World War II and to think of various things to be reviewed about World War II, but he goes with such gloves, and you can see that he knows. You can see that the word Jew is just, like, it's on his tongue, and it's one thing to come out, but he doesn't say it. And so it's very sad that in 2024, with all the work we've done, precisely, like, I've taken a hit in life so that you can go out there and say Jew. It really sucks to have a guy who's a geek of history, and you can see he understands it all, but then at the end he's unable to say it. And look at what he says. He's gonna say something very critical at the very end of the interview, because Tucker Carlson is astonished. Okay, he's like, but I still don't understand, how is it that Western civilization won World War II, but that Western civilization, you look at it today, they look like losers. They look like losers. What has gone on? And I'm like screaming at my screen, the Jews! The Jews have won World War II, and they were inside Western civilization, and they used the opportunity to continue the destruction of Western civilization. Boom, that's it. You got your explanation. But they don't want to say it. So Tucker is like, I wonder what's happening. And so this guy answers, you'll see. He answers, Well, what's happening is everything I've just talked about, plus other things that someone might have in his head or might talk in private, but not on a podcast. And I'm like, what? You are a geek of history. You have the chance of being an American protected by the First Amendment. You'd go through all of the work to conclude, hey, we've been lied to in many instances, and hey, that's a lie, and that's a lie, and that's a lie. And oh, here, all of these lies benefit this cause. But at the end, you're not able to even put a label on it. Listen to this. I can't believe it's like this guy has reached levels of brazenness that are absolutely wonderful, but then he's paralyzed.
You know, but I probably do. And I think it was that sacrificial ritual that was the founding event of the current global order. It brought us all back together. It told us who the bad guys were, why they are, in a binary sense, different from and opposed to us, which makes us the good guys. And now we can all, again, you know, Vicksburg celebrated the 4th of July.
But I do think there's something else going on because, look, I think a lot of what we hear about World War II is a lie. I've agreed with everything on the basis of much less knowledge than you have. But all of your conclusions are consistent with mine. But I'm totally happy to say the Nazis were bad. I think they were. I'm totally happy to say the United States was the, you know, most virtuous player among the three.
But you're not talking about a historical event. You're talking about a myth. Go tell a Muslim that, yes, Muhammad is a great guy. He did a lot of great things, but, and then see the reaction, everything comes after but.
Right. You're totally right. You know? I just can't get over the fact that the West wins and is completely destroyed in less than a century.
Well, the West was conquered. The West was conquered.
Now, see how based this guy is. The West was conquered. By who? By who, Daryl? The West was conquered by who is in power right now? Who's in power right now? Well, let's go through the Secretary of State office. Let's go to the DOJ. Let's go to who caused every single American engagement in the geopolitical scene for the last 40 years. It's the Jews.
By the United States and the Soviet Union.
Okay.
Now, he says the West was conquered by the United States and the Soviet Union. The United States is controlled by Jews. The Soviet Union was founded by Jews. So we have all of the elements of understanding here. This guy gets it. This guy understands the current situation. But look at how he cannot talk about it.
Okay, but I'm including the United States in the West. Right. Somehow, the United States and Western Europe won. Mm. That's the conventional understanding. And both have now look like they lost a world war. So, like, what the hell is that? Like, there's something very, very heavy.
I mean, at this point, Tucker is saying it himself. Heavy. What do you think Tucker has in mind when he says heavy? He's thinking about the Jews. Very, very, something very, very heavy that intentionally crashed Western civilization from within that leads to our demographic fate currently. What is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's all the things that we have been talking.
Now, listen to this answer. This is fascinating. So he's looking for an explanation to give to Tucker, and he's like, all of the things that we just talked about and
talking about, and probably some things that, you know, we only talk about privately, but
what's the function of having cucked historians that are based in every possible way, but that at the end they cuck? What's the function of this? What is... This guy is publicly saying, I can't really talk about it. I can't really give you your full answer, Tucker. What's the point of having an intelligentsia that has its balls cut? because this guy knows exactly what it is. Tucker knows exactly what it is. But they're saying the audience doesn't deserve to know. We're just going to talk about it. So basically, Tucker's shack with his wood logs and everything. You go to Tucker. You spend the day drinking coffee with him in front of the fire with the log stacks behind. Oh, what an enchanting view of the countryside. You hang out with Tucker. You talk about the Jews for 8 hours straight in private. Tucker is guaranteeing you that the cameras are all shut off and the mics are off. And then you open the cameras. And then it's like, you know what we talked about just before the recording started? That's the explanation. So what do we have here? Daryl is confirming the destruction of Western civilization from a demographic perspective stems from the fact that the winners of World War II are not those you think they are. They're not the U.S. They are the Jews. They have won World War II. They have conquered the U.S., and they have administered the U.S. through technocracy. And by doing so, they were in control of what would happen with U.S. demographics. They have destroyed U.S. demographics because they had no skin in the game. And to them, saving white people is not an objective. In fact, if anything, they like the idea of getting rid of them. Stephen Robinson says, JF, this topic deserves to have the thumbnail for today's show. Well, you know, sometimes you have to choose a thumbnail. And Elon Musk was amplifying this interview, and he deleted his tweet. Elon Musk talking to Jewish power. Elon Musk says, very interesting, worth watching. Okay. And now this post has been deleted. Why? Because Martyr Maid, the guy who was interviewed, Martyr Maid, has had a community note written that says, grossly misleading. The tweet refers to the appeal to reason by Hitler in July 1940. By this time, Hitler had invaded two direct allies of Britain, Poland and France, broken multiple treaties. The thing is, Martyr made the claim that Hitler offered peace because he wanted peace to Britain. That is true. It doesn't matter that there were allies that were invaded. The claim is true. So we have a community note that is not even a fact check here. At best, it is a complimentary note on the context. So for this, Elon Musk deletes his tweet. We have here the contours of a bunch of cucks. A bunch of fucking cucks who can't say what they think. A cucked Martyr Maid who talks in private about some historical stuff that he doesn't talk in public about, who's trying to put gloves on every single sentence. And you could see throughout the interview, he's like, I want to be careful if I say this, not to be interpreted in this way. It's like, no, at some point the triggered, at some point you have to offend them, at some point you have to say, I'm going to shit over your entire social system of etiquette that's meant really to hide the truth to the people. And fuck you. We are walking backward. We're walking backward because we did the work so that people would be free to speak, and people are choosing to self-censor still. We did the work to have X, where you can say it free. We did the work to make it viable to be on X and to be an influencer through Substack like Martyr Maid is. And we did so much work that we may have basified Tucker to the point where at least he talks about the Jews in his little cabin before the recording starts. But we still aren't there. It's the Jews! Sample us! Holy shit. Synagogue Underground sends a super chat. He says, if ancient Israelites were adept at animal husbandry, does that make lactose intolerance a metric for determining their identity? Jews, blacks, and East Asians typically lack the ability to properly express beta-galactosidase, whereas Northern Europeans per capita mostly can. I wouldn't fix identity based on this alone, because there's always going to be a percentage in the population that can, a percentage that can't. And so I wouldn't center identity around this. Seth Dillon is making some subtle references to the Martyr Maid interview. He says, some of the right's favorite figures seem to be happily exploiting both their listeners' general distrust of authority and their own reputations as bold truth-tellers to breathe new life into outrageous conspiracies and revisionist history. We need moral clarity right now, not sympathy for Hitler. Deeply disturbing stuff. Of course, Seth Dillon, a Jew who publishes useless false news at Babylon Bee. Of course, he doesn't want you to reflect on World War II. Guys, it's time to move on. We have decided that we would be able to say that our generations would be the one that fix the issue of freedom of speech around World War II. We do not accept your conceptions of it. We do not accept your moral recycling of it as a justification for the atrocity you're committing in the Middle East. And so fuck you. We don't care if you're offended. We will keep talking and thinking about World War II. Now, this news came out just just before I started the show, and wow, what the fuck? DOJ claims that Tenet Media with Tim Pool received $10 million in unregistered Russian funding, charges Russian agents under FARA. The Tennessee-based media outlet features influencers Tim Pool and Benny Johnson. The founders of the company, Lauren Chen and her husband, are reported to have deceived commentators about funding behind Tenet to publish content designed to influence American politics and culture. What the fuck? Lauren Chen? According to these allegations, now, I don't believe in allegations only. Lauren Chen, roaming millennial, a historical young YouTuber of back in the days who had been following me until recently, and 2 years ago, she unfollowed me on X. I mentioned being heartbroken about it. But now, isn't it interesting that perhaps the years where she unfollowed me were the years in which she was transacting this Russian money into the U.S. to eventually influence Tim Pool? $10 million. So you know, you wonder why people like me aren't invited on Tim Pool? It's because I don't carry $10 million of Russian money. There's your answer. Lauren Chen was on Tim Pool. Lauren Chen was on Tim Pool. So you wonder why we don't get quality content? It's because these people are corrupt. They take money in, and Papa Jeff comes with zero money. Papa Jeff comes with only his talent. It's something good. I mean, we can do some fun stuff for 3 hours. I can have your audience laugh. I can have your audience think. And I can have humanity warned. But I can't bring $10 million Russian money with me. But Lauren Chen can, apparently. And Tim Pool is out there saying, oh, well, we're not connected to this. But it's like Tim Pool had Lauren Chen on his podcast. Tim Pool has exposed his audience to the talking points. Tim Pool has participated to the separate business that would push further Russian talking points. He says, my statements regarding allegations and the leaked DOJ indictment, should these allegations prove true, I, as well as the other personalities and commentators, were deceived and are victims. I cannot speak for anyone else at the company as to what they do or to what they are instructed. The Culture War podcast was licensed by Tenet Media. It existed well before any license agreement with Tenet, and it will continue to exist after any such agreement expires. The only change with the agreement was that the location of the live broadcast moved to Tenet's YouTube channel. Never at any point did anyone other than I have full editorial control of the show, and the contents of the show are often apolitical. Examples include discussing spirituality, dating, and video games. The show is produced in its entirety by our local team without input from anyone external to the company. The Culture War is a separate company not associated with Timcast.com or other properties. It exists solely for the production of the Culture War podcast. It's all very weird, these laws. And it's all very weird what Tim Pool is saying here. So it's like, oh, we were producing the show. Okay. But there were $10 million. Like, someone came with $10 million so that you could produce this show. They selected this show. They wanted this show to be produced. They may have given you much leeway, much freedom. That doesn't change that you would have accepted the funding. So let's see. Justice.gov has published this press conference, press release, two RT employees indicted for covertly funding and directing U.S. company that published thousands of videos in furtherance of Russian interest. Employees of Russian state-controlled media outlet deployed nearly $10 million to publish RT-curated content, which garnered millions of views through a Tennessee-based online content creation company. So basically, the Elena Afanasyeva and Konstantin Kalashnikov would have committed a conspiracy to violate the Foreign Agents Registration Act and conspiracy to commit money laundering by basically giving money. According to the court documents, RT, formerly known as Russia Today, is a state-controlled media outlet funded and directed by the government of Russia, blah, blah, blah. In order to carry out RT's secret influence, the agents operated under covert identities at U.S. Company One. Posing as an outside editor, Kalashnikov edited U.S. Company One content, monitored U.S. Company One's funding and hiring, and introduced Afanasyeva as a member of this purported editing team. So when Tim Pool says, we did this locally, well, you did this locally, apparently, but with Russian agents. Oh, you were local. You were local, but you were with these Russian agents in the local. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Wow. The payments were disguised. For example, a wire note for $318,000 wire payment from a shell entity in Turkey to a U.S. company one on March 1st, reading, buying goods, inventory 013, iPhone 15 Pro Max, 512 gigs. Massive amounts of money being dropped on these people. So yeah, in the end, why am I not on Rogan? Why am I not on Timcast? It's because they would need to be interested in the content, the quality of the content of what I have to say. They're mostly interested at if they can get a random shell company in Turkey to pay their iPhone for their employees. That is the reason. And so why? Because Lauren Chen, you know, there was a time at which she was basically associated with the alt-right as much as me in some way. What leads a Lauren Chen to be on Tim Pool and not a Papageyev? $10 million of Vladimir Putin money. So if you want to know how independent I am, that's how independent I am. I literally make a living out of these $5 super chats that you guys are sending me. That's how it works. Gasparovsky sends $10. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, envoyez-leur la rafale, JF. Yeah, fuck everyone. And fuck the Minecraft movie. Are you fucking kidding me? The Minecraft trailer is out. Notch, the original inventor of Minecraft, after he sold it to Microsoft, I believe, he says, okay, I'm in. Wow, this is a weird feeling. Man, I want to die. You gotta be fucking kidding me. African bongo music.
Look right this way!
Genderless teenagers. A fat black woman. A regularly dressed female teenager with gender uncertainty. There's no fat black woman in Minecraft. Have you ever played Minecraft? Minecraft is the last stand of implicit whiteness. You were saying that gays are Nazis? Certainly, Minecraft players are Nazis. Because you get into a Minecraft server, what do you have? White male, white male, white male, white male, white male, artist, white male, artist, white male. That's all you have. If you have a girl in a Minecraft server, the lifetime of this Minecraft server is planned to be 45 minutes. You better save your game, because that girl has been forced to go there between two makeup sessions. Okay? DK Shadow says Asian males too. Absolutely. Asian males. They are white adjacent, of course. There is not a single fat black woman that has ever played Minecraft. You know why? Because Minecraft is too autistic. You just can't understand. It's their brain is opaque to this. Their brain is like, oh, what can I do? Maybe twerk. Maybe I can start yelling at the camera. Maybe I can pick a fight here. Maybe I can go study at college or whatever to improve my condition. It never crosses the mind of a black woman to go play Minecraft. Impossible.
What?
And now the squarey aspect of everything in the environment has been integrated to memes in the movie.
The hell?
And instead of saying shit, she says what the hell, of course, because that's better for a general audience. I'm so tired of the general recipe of trailers. It's like this epic music, this the rhythm. It's they master the recipe so much they can put it at any sauce. What do we have here? TNT will cause an explosion. We have the crafting table with the production of an item instantly with the hammer. Anything? We have the complex mountains and castles. The functioning of the log blocks being reduced to small blocks that are catchable.
You can dream about here, you can make.
The famous pigs, the little beast in the forest. Okay, evil pigs.
Who are you?
I am Steve.
There's always these moments in modern trailers where there's this super increase of tension and then, oh, nothing happens. Oh, I'm just Steve. And now here they're making a joke around the idea that when someone connects to a Minecraft server, they show up and say, I am Steve. That's the one thing that's true in this trailer. You know what they don't say? I'm a queer black woman. I am Shanika. You don't hear this on Minecraft. That doesn't happen. And so Steve, that works now. Little thing they don't mention about Steve is this is Jack Black. He's not funny. He's a Biden supporter.
Okay.
Oh, this guy is such a tool bag.
Oh, and here we are. Here we are. Anti-ableism. This guy is such a tool bag. What did she say? Let's re-listen.
Oh, this guy is such a tool bag.
A tool bag. So basically, she is the cognitively diverse representative in this movie of the anxious autistic woman. We have the anxious autistic woman in the fucking Minecraft movie. Blocks, blocks, blocks. And here we have a little joke about the slow animations that happen sometime in game, where an event would pause an animation, idle animation of the mouth moving. The animal turns, does his other animation, and then goes back to playing the original animation slower. It's tiring that the system, and here Hollywood movie production, can just digest anything and make it suck. Cosmic Nut says it's a fucking kids movie. Yeah, it is. I mean, Minecraft is what it is. It attracts children, and so when this got bought, when Minecraft got bought, it became this opportunity for hyper commercialization. So now you have Minecraft T-shirts at Walmart. You have Minecraft plush in the kids section, and you have the Minecraft movie. Yeah, but it used to be for artists. Corvin Carlson says Minecraft is for artists. The Minecraft movie is for normies. Exactly. This is why it sucks. It's like an invasion of our private space. Rodita Sid says, yeah, but which one of them is gay? Oh, there'll be plenty of gays, let me tell you. And that brings me to the subject of Concord, the main subject tonight. I wanted to do a full research on this because this is an example of a modern game that showed up and that totally crashed to the point where the game is getting withdrawn. And they are emitting reimbursement. So I wanted to really look into the detail because I think there's lots to learn, and I'm developing my own game. I want my game to be successful. I don't want to commit the same mistakes as these big studios. DK Shadow says $200 million down the drain. I think they violated so many rules of what makes a game interesting these days. I don't think the game is that terrible. I look at the game, the graphics are superior. If anything, they are very high graphics, you know. But we'll see what was wrong in the end and what annoyed people. And the first rule is, if you are just a random chaotic shooter style, unless you are a cinematic kind of game where people want to buy it and sit in front of it and kind of enjoy it like a very long movie, unless you are that kind of game you can sell. But if you're just a crappy shooter, you have to be free to play. You have to be free to play because you are... The fun thing with these crappy shooters is that they attract a lot of people and you end up playing against humans, and that's great. But if you're not a cinematic game, people don't want to pay for it, and anyways, you'll need to build up your base of users because ultimately your base of users, even if they don't pay you, even the free users, they are ultimately better than AI. So why is it that humans want to play against humans? It's because AI is just not good at making human-like movements and human-like errors. And we want to We want to fight against someone who is of equivalent capacity for talent and capacity for error. When you make NPC characters, they are either way too good and they are too perfect, and in a way they are disbalanced with respect to a normal human, or they really suck and they have these flaws that are totally ridiculous, but that's just how the AI is designed. So when you make a game, you're free to play crew. Your 10,000 users who are not truly willing to pay for the game, but they occupy the space and they provide a human input to your game that makes it more pleasant for the person who's willing to pay. So the monetization of this game has been totally failed because they imposed a $40 cost to buy the game. That was a first error. Let's see the message that they published. Concord is going offline beginning September 6th, so that's in 2 days from now. However, while many qualities of the experience resonated with players, we also recognize that other aspects of the game and our initial launch didn't land the way we had intended. Therefore, at this time, we have decided to take the game offline beginning September 6th and explore options, including those that will better reach our players. While we determine the best path ahead, Concord sales will cease immediately, and we will begin to offer a full refund for all gamers who have purchased the game for PS5 or PC. If you purchase the game for PlayStation 5 from the PlayStation Store or PlayStation Direct, a refund will be issued back to your original payment method. Customers who purchase from other digital storefronts will also be refunded. I mean, this is very rare that an event like this happens where a company says, all right, we have messed up so hard, we're throwing back your money at you. We don't want any trouble. And apparently there's been a massive investment put on making this game possible. So it's totally stunning. But I guess they've had so little sales that throwing this money back wasn't that big of a problem if it could save face and eventually allow for a relaunch. Yesterday, I took a look at Concord and tried to understand why it's failed so miserably. Wokeness is but one part of the picture. In this thread, I will try to explain why it's failed from both a business and design perspective as well. So you have free games that are attracting 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 concurrent players. This game was 396 players right now, all-time peak at 697. One, the paywall. The hero shooter genre is already dominated by free-to-play games that have no entry fee. Why this matters? Competitive games being freemium is a solved concept. These games thrive through word of mouth and have low barriers of entry, which help spread that word. Look at this. You want the digital deluxe edition, €59.99. The Concord regular, €39.99. Nonsense. When I can get for free Fortnite, and there's nothing in this that's better than Fortnite, really. What they tried to do is a first person. It makes me think about my project very much. Because in my project, what I noticed, I didn't want this to be the case. I had the idea of a survivalist, competitive Dota-style game. But eventually, I realized that one of the big additions and compared to what's offered out there is that many games that are first person shooter, they are oriented around the gun, and it's a gun or a weapon of some kind, whereas I'm divergent toward powers, skills, magics, handling of the environment with shovels, tools, a very high diversity of actions that I want to do with the environment. And this is coming to be a very defining feature of my game. I think they tried to do something similar, where I saw footage and will be watching gameplay of them. They have magics. They have, instead of having just a gun that you shoot with it, they have these hand powers, and the girl can release a fireball with her hand. So they tried to insert kind of Dota-style magic into the first-person shooter genre. I call it first-person. Maybe it's not first-person. It's camera on the side, but this style of shooter game. So they have tried to insert multiple actions and fire effects into a game that usually is centered around guns. A very late open beta. It opened only last month, which means there was about a month before the full release. The open beta was free, while the game cost $40, which alienates the open beta players by asking them to pay for a game they've been playing. So imagine you've been playing for free for a month in the beta. It's a so-so game that's not really strongly above anything that's available. In fact, it's kind of below. And you have to suddenly pay $40 to be just 1 month after trying it. For the beta players, it wasn't a soft boarding. A complicated, unintuitive class system. To compare, Overwatch 2 has 3 classes, Valorant has 4, Concord has 6. The names of the classes are not intuitive to understand either. Wardens, Breachers, Rangers, Anchors, Hunts, and Tacticians. Can you figure out what they do? 4. The character. Compare Concord and Valorant. Once again, in terms of character design, in Valorant, you can see the stylized design philosophy and the personality of the characters come through in their design. Concord, on the other hand, looks bland, stale, and not exciting. The marketing. Like the open beta, the marketing was also very delayed. The first gameplay trailer came out only 2 months ago. Beta advertisement coincided with the beta launch, and some characters' abilities trailers were released only a few days ago. A recipe for zero hype. So basically, not creating expectation. You just drop the trailer on the public space, and the beta is already open. So there's not this wave of social media fire taking on. It's already available. And the fact that it's already accessible, too quick and too short, totally removes the excitation that can build up. And now you enter the subject of wokeness, just black characters, a fat black character. He says, ultimately, Concord was destined to fail from poor design choices, poor timing on their marketing and open beta, and their terrible choice to have an entry fee in the competitive hero shooter genre was a recipe for massive flop. 700 players peak is still insane, though. And so even GameStop is dunking onto the game. Someone was saying that can't play Saturday, but looking forward to trying it out. And GameStop says, I have some bad news for you. They are rebuying the games. They are recalling the games. Someone was saying, dear fanboys, when a game on the console you don't own doesn't do very well, whether it's Concord or Hellblade or NES World Championship, it's not a win for you. Nobody won. And this person said, dear activist, when a game doesn't do very well, whether it's Concord or Suicide Squad KTJL, because it's got so many problems like clunky gameplay, awful character design, cringe backstories, and outdated monetization systems, then it's abandoned and it's a win for us. Gamers won. Absolutely, it seems to be a game that comes from the top. You know, it's a game that was designed obviously with massive money. Because I can make a game that will be more successful than this with graphics that are way below this. Like, clearly, when I look at these graphics, I know it costs a lot to develop graphics of this level of quality. Let's look at gameplay here and see. First, I'm not impressed by the layout. The layout is very cartoonish. Look at this. It's like cartoon overlay. Doesn't feel integrated. Doesn't feel natural. The players at the top feel like 2008, really. 2008 levels of graphics, although it's not quite illustrated on screen, but we can see it here. Look, picture of player. This is not super well integrated graphically. So the layout seems to be weak. Weak layout work, but look at the 3D graphics. This takes a lot of work. You have to pay a graphist to be building all this 3D structure with the texture. There is enormous amounts of work in there and enormous amounts of work on the diversity of effects that I'm seeing. Now look at this. Those are complex environments, complex mechanics of weapons. This is a shooter, basically, a shooter game. Now look, superpowers with fireballs. Collection of loot items. Fire effects. Fire line on the street here that we saw. Healing. And when you look at general, the quality of this, like, this is high-level graphics with texturing on rocks, on irregular shapes. There has been some work. They had some money to do this. And when you look at the flow of the game, I don't see any particularly unprofessional flow issues. People were talking about clunky mechanics. Certainly, that's a flowing shooter to me. Now, weirdly, it seems that the players can fly, basically, and slowly jump. And you can see the damage on the wall. Okay, it's not like stunning, but there is some work there. Shady Jesus says 8 years to work on it. John Drake says $200 million. Shady Jesus says they had over $100 million. In any case, lots of money has been invested in this. So a priori, this is not a floppy game, like low, 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 terrible game. There's been work there. So there was something that was missing in the communication and in being in relation to the rest of the competitive scene that this game is showing in. Basically, they showed as a lame addition to the shooter's genre. And I believe this is and lame in the way they monetized it, lame in the way they built the characters. Now, when you look at these characters, they don't feel particularly interesting. Like, I don't feel any interest in knowing more about the black woman or the guy with a hat. When you think about Team Fortress 2, that to me is the model of character expansion, character exploring in games. You know, in Team Fortress 2, there were trailers released regularly where the spy was a character. Now, the spy is in all this war. Why? It's because they had porn pictures of his mother. Was it his mother or his wife? Anyways, they dropped the dossier on the desk, and he's like, "What is this?" And then he opens the folder, and it's the porn pics of his wife, and he's like, "Oh, my love, my tendre romance," and he speaks in French. So that was giving personality to the spy. I don't feel any personality. I don't feel any goal in this. That's a very generic environment with generic characters, generic surroundings, and they're just really throwing shooting at each other. In a way, it makes me really think of Unreal. People will remember the game Unreal. You know, these days they have the Unreal Engine on which they develop a lot of games. But back in the days, there was the game named Unreal. And it makes me think about this. It was all about shooting bazookas and shooting explosions against each other. And it was kind of chaotic shooter style. So this one doesn't have the sound, but we can see some further gameplay. Fire here. Lots of jumping. In Unreal, there was a lot of jumping and a lot of flying in the air. But from that perspective, you look at this game and it's like, what is better here than Unreal? Because Unreal Tournament 2004, says FD. That's the problem. We're in 2024. We're 20 years after Unreal. This has slightly better graphics than Unreal, and that's it. This is not particularly more interesting than Unreal. I mean, it's the same thing, basically. It's poo, poo, poo. Jump, jump, jump. Fire, fire, fire. It's just, you know, it's 2024 graphics, and that's it. All right, so that was it for the gameplay. We have another gameplay video here. This is a guy trying to escape some scene. Again, there's no sound on this one. Okay, shooting with the arbalet. I don't know what's the English word for this weapon, but... shooting balls of fire, some shielding. And people are constantly running back to these health signs that are healing. So you constantly want to get healed to continue the fight. All right. And then we have a last video. Matches felt frenetic, he says. Crossbow, that is the name of this object. A crossbow. But I don't know why it keeps pausing. The video keeps pausing. But I can re-click play every time. Yeah, so it's like hiding, shooting, hiding behind a wall, throwing some fireballs, flying. That is just a basic shooter. So I don't see anything fundamentally wrong about the development of the game, but everything was wrong in kind of the way they implemented it. And here you have one of the character. This is a mom. You know what's the role of a mom in computer gaming? It's to come and ruin the game because spaghetti is ready or something, or because you've spent enough time on the computer. Now it's time to come to the table and play in family with cards or whatever. A mom shouldn't be in the fucking game. This is traumatizing for a young man trying to become an expert at a game, and he sees a lesbian soccer mom type with short hair in the game. You have just invaded his private space. You have invaded the safe space of gaming. Roddy Lucid says, "Mom spaghetti, you only get one shot." Quoting Eminem. Quoting Eminem raps here. Here we have a Concord tweet. Someone was saying, "Yo, these Concord tweets aged well." So on September, they were saying victory in response to players winning and leveling up. Rudy Gamer was saying 12 maps, 16 characters, 6 modes, no pet battle pass, strong roadmap, absolute quality. Now, see, this is where my game will have 500 different characters, items, 10,000 plants, 10,000 animals, each of them with recipes with their meat and their fruits. No, 16 characters, 12 map, that is not sufficient. Shady Jesus says only 12 people have leveled their character up to 100 and got the platinum trophy on the game. Okay. This guy was apparently paid to be happy about Concord. He was saying, I really cannot stress enough just how utterly perfect Concord is. The negativity this game received before even release is one of the biggest travesties in gaming. I feel partially responsible and it sickened me, to be honest. I hope so much it succeeds and folks give it a chance. Well, it is now withdrawn. Jackie Chan says, have you seen George Sprav's channel on YouTube? He makes all kinds of crazy stuff with crossbows and bows and stuff. Very relaxing. No, I haven't seen. I can check. Now, a word of caution to future gamer developers, game developers, and to myself. Don't name your game something that has been a symbol. Am I the only one to know this because I'm French? Concord is a symbol of failure. And when you name something Concord, you are damning it to... You're recruiting all of the mimetic forces of people expect something called Concord to fail. Why? Because Concord is this model of plane, a French plane that never made money because it was too big, because it was pouring money into making this giant plane that would be the biggest plane to go above the speed of sound. And it was just too megalomaniac, and there was just no demand, and it didn't work enough, and it was not viable, and it totally became unviable to produce. And it's retired from service now. And in France, there is this whole, you know, there is this expression, don't be a Concorde. How would you name your game Concorde? That doesn't... For a French mind, it's ridiculous. Now, I don't know, maybe English programmers don't know about the story of the Concorde, but it seemed to me that I've heard on interviews and on mainstream shows, people talk about the Concorde. New guy says, but Concorde means friendship. Yeah, well, this is where you're already setting up for the mimetics around your game to be, oh, it's woke. Oh, and it's about everyone is a friend. And so you're already setting up for failure. I mean, look at this. Whoever greenlit Concord at Sony after seeing these character designs should pay back the $200 million. Mom, soccer mom, just with the arm shooting some grenades. The kind of revolutionary communist Marxist queer black woman, the overweight twerker black woman, and another overweight twerker black woman with the AK. None of these people can sustain the success of a game. So stop like having... You're making it very difficult for white males, who are the only white males and Asian males. Okay, those are the only clientels for games, especially if it's a game you have to pay for. Now, free games on the phone. People say, "Oh no, Jeff, the statistics are in 2024. There is as much female gaming as there is male." No, 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 no. You are talking about free iPhone games. Females will play free iPhone games. That doesn't make them gamers. If you don't have a desktop computer, don't even come to me. You talk to the hand, okay? If you don't have a desktop computer, talk to the hand. You are not a gamer. Talk to the fucking hand. And GameStop was laughing their ass off. in the tweet that they did, where they said, "I have some bad news for you," the guy had not yet played the game that he had bought at GameStop. He said, "You were the ones that sold it to me," and GameStop. GameStop replied with the shy squirrel meme, the kind of oops. Oh my god, people are dunking so hard on Concord. It's been hilarious to research this subject. Breaking, Alexander de Moraes ordered the freezing of Starlink's assets in Brazil, including cars and aircraft. So further takeover of assets here, assets for transportation will be totally taken over by the Supreme Court justice. Amazon admits that Alexa's wildly biased treatment of Trump, Harris questions, was error. So this is someone tried saying, "Can you give me arguments, Alexa, for why I should vote Trump?" And Alexa is like, "No, no, no, I can't." And then you're like, "Can you give me arguments for why I should vote Harris?" And Alexa is like, "Oh, yeah. Let's start listing all of the arguments. I want you to vote for Harris." The Democrat plan to restore the higher education indoctrination complex. The Democrat Party's craving for power is insatiable. So nothing is ever enough. So one way in which the Democrats, they gain future cultural gains is by training the new generation, creating special rights for them, like special access to workforce, or you have to have this diploma to work at this kind of job. And then they tie the whole education system to a Marxist indoctrination. So you have the whole mix here of how Democrats are using money to basically buy votes of the future. They're using state money, which ultimately comes from the pockets of taxpayers. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. And if you'd like to support the show needs your support to keep going. So go on Subscribestar, Patreon, subscribe at the $5 or $20 level to keep supporting us on a monthly basis. I just went to my farmer neighbor and I just bought a big section of a beef. It's absolutely beautiful to see all these slices of meat in my freezer. Here, I'll go back upstairs. Check my freezer again. It's absolutely beautiful. All T-bones, ribeye steaks, filet mignon, all of the cuts, all of the ground beef coming from the beef. Mwah. We'll be right back.